Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get cracking. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us today. I have to apologize first to all of you all. You know I like to do my stuff live if possible, but it's been a crazy week, so this is our first live show this week. But I am here with my buddy Burton. Gee, that sounds like a TV show. But anyway, I'm here with Burton Kelso on Tech Thursday. My buddy Burton. Good morning, Burton. How you doing?
I'm doing good. My buddy Burton.
My buddy Burton. Sounds like a show.
It does. That's too funny.
So, yeah, he asked, and I graciously acquiesced in letting him take the lead today because he has a lot to talk about because of why, Burton?
Because October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, I forget the date when it got its inception, but it was done by the government because of all the cybercrime that's been going on. So I think it's been going on at least 11 or 12 years. But the whole purpose of this month is to make people more aware about all the cyber threats that are out there. And I'm sure when National Cybersecurity Awareness Month was created, they had no idea how bad cybercrime has gotten, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten really bad, really bad.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the big one right now that's affecting a lot of businesses is Pitney Bowes got hit with ransomware, I want to say last week. And just to kind of give you an idea of how cybercrime works, you've got two different phases. So you've got, I guess, personal or small business cybercrime, and you've got, obviously, the large data breaches that occur. But most of the data breaches that you hear about in the news when it deals with, say, hospitals or small businesses are user interactive. Because, I mean, the truth is that most of your smart devices and computers already have the security built in to protect you from all the cyber threats out there. So if you've got the latest update for, say, your Android phone or your iPhone, and you stay on top of your updates for your Windows and Apple computers, you've got the security built in to protect you from everything that's out there. But the problem is, G, is that many people will fall victim to either a phone hoax or a web host or hoax. And what happens is people will click on a link, which then opens the door for a cyber threat to infect your smart device or your computer. So I definitely want to put that out there because I know people are worried about, well, what if I look at this website, I'm getting these ads when I surf on social media, someone's duplicated my social media account, I get this email saying that Facebook or Instagram are going to start charging for services. I mean, all those are hoaxes. You really and truly have to interact on a phishing email or a link in a website in order for your devices to get hacked. And I know that's something that takes a few moments for a lot of people to sink in, but you really have to look at the nature of what cyber threats that you see out there. You see, especially on the small business end, you see more phishing scams, you see more of the robocalls, because it's easier for cyber criminals to trick you into giving up your data rather than them taking the time to break into your computer device or server. So all those news stories that you see where a business gets hit with ransomware, that means that some employee, I won't say stupid employee, but some naive employee clicked on an email that or a link that they weren't supposed to.
And
so,
you know,
go ahead.
I
know that takes a second, but yeah, it's like, yeah, you're safe and secure. It's all in your action. Now, that's different than the large company data breaches we'll talk about here in a few minutes, but go ahead.
No, because I was going to say, unfortunately, a lot of it is our own fault.
It is.
And, you know, when they say, do you, and I'm going to segue here for a second. But when they have these things that pop up and say, do you read and accept the agreement? And a lot of times, you know, for things that we're downloading, and a lot of times we say, yes, we read and accepted, and we haven't because it's long.
Right.
And it takes a long. And it's not. It's like when we just make a decision to, you know, have a new program downloaded or a new app on our phone or whatever, we're kind of doing it on the spur of the moment because something has prompted us to do it. Like,
right.
For example, some of the shopping apps that I've downloaded. It was because,
right.
If I download this app, I can get this on sale now. Okay, so you download this app. Yeah. I read it, except it's all the same, you know, and I click, I accept, and I get my sale. But I don't know what that's doing in terms of, you know, who's tracking what I'm purchasing, who's got access, because a lot of times they'll ask, can we use your camera on your phone?
Right.
Can we use your contacts? And
right.
There's a lot of other types of things. And the reason, you know, I'm bringing this up because last night my husband and I went to see an advanced screening of a movie that's coming out called Countdown. And it starts out, you know, innocently enough, somewhat, but it's somewhat predictable. You kind of know where it's going, but it's an app. They're looking for one app. It's like, well, what about this one? It's like, no, well, let's see what this one is. And it was, I'm not going to spoil it because I'm also talk about this movie next week. But basically it was an app that was downloaded. They accepted it before they could, you know, say any, you know, look any, into it any further, just based on what they were told that the app does. And they all thought it was nice and fun app. And it wasn't so fun at the end. And I'm going to just leave it at that. So it was kind of dangerous. So
With the terms of service for software, basically the only real thing that you have to worry about when you agree to the terms of service when it comes to software is just making sure that you understand what they're going to do with the information they get. So to be honest with you, apps that want to access your speaker and your microphone, realistically, it's just a disclaimer out there letting you know that this app is going to access your data. Now, most – and your video camera to work in conjunction with the app. Now, most reputable companies will only – allow that to be used when you use the app. And, you know, most companies, when they're accessing your data, and I'm talking about instances with Siri and with the Amazon Echo and the Google Home, smart home devices, they have a team of people that, yeah, they're listening in on those devices to make it work better for you. But those areas of those companies are locked down, and I've done background checks on those people to make sure that they're not doing anything bad with the sensitive data that they collect. So, you know, realistically, you don't necessarily have to worry about stuff like that. But in order to make the general public feel safe, companies like Amazon have it where you can go in and delete your search history when you use your Amazon device, your Echo device. So, I mean, they just want full disclosure when it comes down to that. But most cybercrime comes from companies that are from overseas, that their whole goal is to make money off of individuals and small businesses. So that's why you have these bots that are automated programs that are just constantly sending out spam email messages in the hopes that someone gets curious and clicks on something. And they're socially engineered so that people will either react to it because there's a problem with one of their online accounts, or it's a deal that's so enticing that they just can't resist to click on it. But, I mean, you know, when you come down to the base of it, when it comes to individual cybercrime, as far as devices are concerned, all modern devices are safe. I mean, if you're running something like, say, older iPhone or Android phone, or even like an older version of Windows, then you're at great risk because many of the hackers don't have access to the new and improved stuff. But if you've got up-to-date stuff, as far as someone trying to break into your personal devices, it's not something you really have to worry about. It's the devices have security built in. You've got your operating systems like Windows and Mac. You're sitting behind the firewall. And even if you have that turned off, if you're on your home or small business network, you're sitting behind a firewall or router that's provided by your internet provider. And so with all those layers of protection, most criminals out there just don't even bother because it's almost like an episode of Storage Wars. I mean, say you break in a storage locker, but, you know, what are you going to get? You know, you don't know. So it's easier to have the criminals trick people into doing stuff rather than trying to break in and hack into devices. I think people are still in that mindset that, I've been hacked, especially when something goes goofy with your computer. But the other threats that you see out there, too, that get people to react are one of the levels of ransomware attacks, where, like, if you surf the web and it pops up with an alert saying, oh, goodness, there's a problem with your internet service or there's a problem with your computer, call this number, and you can't get rid of the message on the screen, what are you going to do? You're going to call the number because you think it's a problem with your device. Then, of course, you fall victim to someone getting into your computer and taking over your stuff. But that's because you've only opened a door. But the type of ransomware that just displays the message, it's just a simple matter of turning your device off, and then you're back at it. So, I mean, people really need to be aware that their devices are safe and be a little bit more vigilant as far as making sure that they that they're not clicking on stuff that they shouldn't.
I hear you. I do. And I trust
you.
I trust you thoroughly. But like you, one of the things you just said was you kind of got to depend on the people that have your information to do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You know?
And that's the problem.
And that's not always the case.
Right, exactly. And that's the problem with the large-scale data breaches. But you have to really pay attention to what's going on in the news in order to figure out what's going on. Like, let's just say with the Pitney Bowes ransomware, no information was leaked. Like I said, it was just some naive employee that clicked on a link in an email that compromised the whole Pitney Bowes network. So anyone who has a Pitney Bowes postage meter can't update the funds in their meter, and they can send out postage if they've got funds, but if they don't have any funds to do in-house mail, you know, mass mailings, then they have to take it to the post office to get it done. So, I mean, it's obviously a minor convenience, but it's not like any information was leaked, unlike a large-scale company data breach like an Equifax or, there's countless others that we can talk about that have been breached over the, you know, since 2012. But, I mean, but that's the big difference. I mean, I think overall, if you look at it, most people have control over their devices and they have control over whether they're hacked or not when it comes to personal devices. I hope that makes sense.
It's not a matter of whether or not it makes sense, but yeah, it does make sense. No, because it all depends on what your comfort. A lot of it depends on what your comfort level is with technology to begin with.
Yeah, it does. And I think in our digital lifestyle and our age, you really have to become a little bit comfortable with technology. Because I mean, technology is a life changer. It really is. And in our society, for you to be afraid of it, it's just really holding you back on what you could potentially, what technology can potentially do for you. So I think that education is always key when it comes to technology, because it's constantly changing, and so is the face of cybercrime. But, I mean, the more people that know about the cyber threats that are out there and how to protect themselves, I think you will see cybercrime drastically reduced, and, you know, the criminals will turn to another trade. So something to think about.
It's a shame that all these people that are committing these cyber crimes don't, what is the phrase from the superhero movies, use their powers for good?
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you know, these people have to eat too, and you have to think about where most of these cyber crimes are occurring. I mean, they're occurring in countries where, you know, they're occurring in countries where they just don't have the means to get money the way that we do. You know, that's unfortunate, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That is unfortunate. And that is something to think about. We are here with Burton Kelso. It is Tech Thursday, and it is also National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. We're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the arc with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good morning, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am here with Burton Kelso of Integral, and he's schooling us on National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And I wanted to ask you, Burton, a company like, I understand ransomware is just basically almost impossible to get around in terms of without having to pay a price for it. What does a company like Pitney Bowes do once this has happened? Because like you said, it affects a lot of small businesses.
Wow, this one's going to take up to the next commercial break. But yeah, let's talk about ransomware. But before we get to that, this would be considered one of the large company threats that people have to deal with as far as, you know, data breaches. And so the challenges in recent years, companies just haven't been as vigilant as far as protecting our personal data from data breaches. Because, I mean, you know, you and I are both business owners. And, you know, our job number one, obviously, is to make money. But you know, our job number 1.1 is to save our customers' data. And unfortunately, large companies haven't done that in recent years. So that's why you see all these data leaks that are out there. And I mean, that's unfortunate. But
yeah.
back to the Pitney Bowes thing and ransomware, there's two types of ransomware out there. So the first one is it's ransomware, but it's kind of considered scareware. Whereas if you're surfing the web and you accidentally put in a web address wrong, cyber criminals have purchased domains that are the misspellings of popular websites such as Yahoo or Google or Amazon. And so when you misspell one of those websites, it'll take you to a bogus website, which will pop up and the warning bells will go off and it'll tell you that there's been a major problem and that you need to call this 800 number for tech support. So, you know, with any web browser window, if you go to a website you don't want to go to, it's just a simple matter of closing the browser out, right? I mean, that's what you should do. But most people don't. They panic and they call the number and then they let someone in their computer and give up all sorts of information. But with that scareware or that type of ransomware, it's just real easy to just close out your browser or shut down your device and then bring it back up, and then it gets rid of the message. Now, the real danger is the ransomware, which goes in and encrypts your files and damages your files, and you can't get your information back forever unless you get the encryption key for your, for whatever ransomware threat that you have out there. But you were talking about cyber criminals doing good. So there's a group of people, and I need to find it while I'm talking about it, but there's a group of people that have put together all the encryption utilities that will decrypt your ransomware that's happened on your computer. So there's a group of guys that put a website that's nomoreransomware.org, I think is the website, and they have a site where you can go and find out what encryption tool was used to damage your data and maybe get that back. Now, a company the size of Pitney Bowes or any other company that's been hit with ransomware, what you should do is have a complete backup of your business systems so that you can restore it and then just get back to business without worrying about the loss of files. So, in the instance with Pitney Bowes, if they got hit with ransomware, they would clear the virus off, and then they would just restore from backup, and then that's all she wrote. But most companies, unfortunately, don't do a complete backup of their system, so they're left scrambling, either rebuilding stuff from start or trying to go through a process of using decryption tools to decrypt their data. So the website, G, is actually nomoreransom.org. But okay. It's nomoreransom.org. And then when you go to the website, because obviously ransomware is a global problem, it'll ask you what your language is, and then it'll go in and it's got different tools to help decrypt your data. And if you go to the section where it has decryption tools, as you can see, there is a ton of encryption tools that are used.
I'm just looking at something that I was just talking about where it has for more information see our website disclaimer. So This is one of those cases, and you see where it says, okay, I've read it. This is one of those cases where people are going to be desperate and like they're going to say, okay, I've read it. And this is how we get into trouble, though. Like I said, it's a matter of you need to take the time to sit down and read what the site is providing or not providing and see if you're comfortable going forward with it. You just have to take that extra time.
Right.
And I'm not just talking about this site. I'm not talking about this site. These are the good guys. But I'm just talking about any site.
Yes, exactly. The other thing I was going to mention, too, a lot of the virus manufacturers like Kaspersky and Avast and McAfee also have free ransomware encryption tools that you can use in order to decrypt your data if you've been hit with ransomware.
Okay.
But the thing that you have to remember with these ransomware tools is all of them aren't foolproof, and you may have to do a lot of research on the internet in order to find the right utility that's going to unlock those files on your computer or on your device.
Okay, so I have a question about you, because you were just mentioning some of the antivirus security websites and programs, and I've used a couple of them in the past, and every now and then I come across others. When you are shopping for, these programs, because some of them are sold to you when you buy your computer from whatever company you're buying the computer from or whatever retailer you're buying a computer from. what is it that you should be looking for to see whether or not you're getting good, software security, antivirus, with spam protection and all, whatever they call it. What do you look for, and what are you going to pay for a good one?
Oh, you don't look for any of the off-the-shelf programs they use for antivirus protection. Both Windows and Macintosh computers have it built in.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're looking for antivirus software, you really don't have to look. Just make sure that it's activated on your computer. So Windows users can take advantage of Windows Defender, which when Windows 10 came out back in 2015, Windows Defender just really sucked. It was a bad antivirus program. But now Microsoft is really up their game, and I'm sure it's because of all the cyber threats that have been going on, and it's actually a really good program now.
You're saying that basically I don't need to go and buy Norton. I don't need to go buy Avast.
No.
I don't need to go buy Webroot. Windows Defender is going to – Huh? What?
And, yes, and none of that stuff you need, because you have to look at – let's just take Norton, for example. You know Norton comes with LifeLock now, right?
No, I did not.
Well, it does, but there's a reason behind that, because they know that their antivirus package is, you can get it built into Windows. So that's why they start filling it with other features to make it a little bit more appealing. So they're like, well, yeah, you got not only antivirus protection, but you get LifeLock, personal data protection. And that's why you'll see, McAfee will have full internet security, which means they included a firewall in their program. But the problem is that your Windows computer already has a firewall in it. So why do you need extra firewall protection from McAfee? You don't, because it's built in already.
So which one do you use?
Windows Defender.
Okay, so then
you just use Windows Defender and that's it. You don't download anything else on the computer. You don't. You just use that and be done with it.
Okay.
Yeah, they got you sold. I mean, that's the whole point. They're selling a product.
Well, that's what I was asking. When I bought my current laptop, I ended up with Webroot.
Right.
They sold.
And I can even tell you where you got it. You got it from Best Buy, didn't you?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. It's either a retailer thing or it's a manufacturer thing.
Yeah, it's Best Buy. And then Micro Center. I don't know if you have them. Don't you have Micro Centers in your neck of the woods?
Micro Centers?
I guess you're asking the wrong person.
Sorry,
there's a national chain called Micro Center, and one of the things that they sell is a program called ESET antivirus. So yeah, with us and our tech support, we can tell where you got your computer based on the antivirus that they pushed on you. So a lot of times with customers, we'll just say, hey, let's go to the store with you so we can get in and out, and they don't push all that extra stuff on you.
Okay, so the next time to buy a computer, which is going to be a while, I think. when they ask me if I want Webroot or whatever it is that they're selling, I just say no.
No, that's it. Just, hey, get out of my face. I don't need that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you'd be a little bit nicer, but.
Well, of course I am. But the other thing is, though, I'm just surprised, I guess, and just kind of curious. So Windows Defender, you're saying, is basically all I need.
It is. It's even got ransomware protection built into it.
Interesting.
I mean, they've really updated their game. Yeah, if you go to – the best way to do it on a Windows computer is you can just type in the word ransomware under the Windows search option, and then it'll pop up to the ransomware protection area. And by default, the ransomware protection area is turned off, but you can just go ahead and flip the switch and turn it on.
Okay.
And basically that protects your computer from having massive changes being made, because that's what ransomware does. Is it goes in and starts making the files from encrypted to unencrypted to encrypted. So, I mean, But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's pretty robust.
So just to be clear, everyone who is listening who has Windows, I didn't say take that stuff off there, but Burton said take that stuff
off
there and use Windows Defender. So.
Yes. Yeah, because, gee, one of the things that was happening with our company is that we would recommend people, well, if anything, just install one of the free antivirus programs on there, like AVG or Avast. So what happened was is we started getting people calling us because those programs are starting to pop up and say, oh, you don't have enough protection, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's like, well, it would be easier just to have people to use Defender because it's built in. The only time it's going to alert you when there's a real problem, it's not going to try to upsell you to more protection like a lot of these programs are starting to do. So that's why we started recommending people to go to Windows Defender, and we did our homework to make sure that it was a viable solution for people to use as far as antivirus protection is concerned. And it is. Oh. It's great.
All right. So I've got other questions I'm going to ask you, but we're going to take a break, and I'm going to let you continue and fill us all in. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. It is Tech Thursday with Burton Kelso. The number is 516-387-1944, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720, Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. We are here with Mr. Burton Kelso of Integral. It is National Cyber Security Month. I think I have that right.
Awareness.
Oh,
you forgot awareness.
I forgot awareness. Be aware. It's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And we're laughing, but it's not a joke. It really isn't. It's just gotten really, I guess, complicated, and, you know, in terms of just trying to figure out how to keep your information protected. You know, you think you got it one base covered and another one, another thing pops up. I just wanted to ask you, you talked about Windows Defender, and another thing that was recommended to me was CCleaner.
Oh, that just cleans out all your junk and cookie files on your computer.
Well, if you do your disk cleanup, won't that do it?
Yeah, it will.
Okay, so you don't need CCleaner.
Not necessarily, no. You used to a few years back, but CCleaner... let's say if you became a victim of like a virus attack, you let a virus in on your device, you could use a program like CCleaner to just delete any junk files on your computer. But it's not a utility that's going to go in and clean up your virus. Now, if you're looking for a free utility to clean up any viruses on your computer, there's a program called Malwarebytes Anti-Malware that will actually go in and clean up your stuff. And Malwarebytes, you want to use like a fire extinguisher. Let's say you open the oven and that's the analogy of your device, and you let someone in and you want to make sure that they didn't put anything on your computer or device, because they make malware bytes for Androids too. You can download and run malware bytes just to clean up your system. But once you're done with malware bytes, you just want to take it off. Because if you go to the malwarebytes.com website, I mean, they're trying to sell a product too. So they're telling you, well, yeah, you can download this and have it protect your system. And it's like, well, I really don't need that. I just need to clean up some junk that's on my computer and devices. So, I mean, that's one of the things you have to watch out for. You just stick with Windows Defender. But if you goof up and you think you've got some bug on there, you can definitely download a free copy of Malwarebytes, and it'll clean up your stuff. But when you're done with Malwarebytes, you want to uninstall it. And because with smart devices and computers, less is more. The less stuff you have running in the background, the faster your computer or your devices are going to run.
Right, right. Yeah, my husband gets after me all the time.
Well, you can have a lot of stuff running in the background of your computer, like if you're opening up multiple Word documents or Excel spreadsheets. But when you're done, obviously, you want to close all that back down so that your computer's not using resources. But, yeah, it's the same thing with your antivirus packages, too. Like, one of the two notorious ones that runs a bunch of junk in the background are both Norton and McAfee. I mean, you're talking about 10 or 12 additions that run in the background with your computer when you have those virus programs running on your system. So that's why I'm like, less is more, and just go ahead and stick with Windows Defender. Then
okay,
what I was going to say before the commercial break was, now with any antivirus package, it doesn't matter what you have on your system. Nothing's going to be foolproof if you open the door. So if you click on something, then it's going to circumvent Norton and just get on your system. And the same thing with Windows Defender. It'll circumvent all that stuff. The idea is not to click on stuff and watch where you go on the internet.
I mean, we really just don't think of it in the way that we think of our regular life, our physical life. You know, when you're driving around, you know, there's certain areas you don't go in. There's certain streets you don't turn down or whatever. You're careful. You know, there's certain places you don't go by yourself. I mean, it's that kind of thing that you have to do with your computer. You know, it's basically you have to be cautious and not just open the door or, you know, like you said, just get trigger happy with your fingers and click on the wrong thing. If you don't, like you said, if you don't need it, just pass it up, keep going.
Right. Especially email. Email is notoriously bad as far as phishing scams because especially older adults get so curious looking at new email. Because part of the thing with email is part of their social life. It's social interaction. So if a new email comes in, and it's from Joe. Oh, wow, Joe sent me something. Let me go ahead and click on this. Knowing that, you know, maybe Joe doesn't send out, hey, take a look at this video type of emails, but people click on it anyway. So, I mean, that's the problem. One of the other things I was going to mention, G2, that it does not necessarily protect you from, say, virus protections, but it can help some of your personal information from being shared with some of the websites you visit. And that would be a feature that's called incognito mode or in private mode in your web browser. So I know people are always complaining to me about ads that pop up on Facebook, but I always tell people, well, if you go open Chrome or Firefox or even Microsoft Edge and tell it that you want to use a new incognito window, then you can surf kind of anonymously on the internet.
Okay, I have something that happened that I actually need to ask you about. So, in my becoming more active with my realtor association, I acquired another laptop. I acquired a Surface, and it has Norton on it. And I did something this week. I pressed a button. I don't know what I did. But anyway, so now on my regular computer, I look up, and I have Norton on it now.
Really?
What did I do?
Oh, because with most Norton accounts, you now they make it to make it more appealing that you can protect more devices. So you probably clicked on an email and downloaded Norton to your other laptop, and so now your subscription is covering both your Surface and your regular laptop. That's it.
I just don't know how that happened because I don't. The Surface, I only use usually when I'm at the Realtor Association, and I don't know. But yeah, I guess I must have clicked on something. Because like I said, never had Norton before. And then I was asked on my regular laptop about Norton before. And, you know, I kept saying, no, that's okay. Because I had the web root that I got that I guess I don't need anymore. And then there were certain features that I could not, I guess, get without paying for them. But now every time I open my regular computer, the page comes up and says Norton Safe Search.
Oh, the Norton Safe Search is just a free utility that you can, that is supposed to keep you safe from all of those websites that are out there. But you can go into Control Panel and then programs and features and then just take it off. So
okay.
That's what I would do. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of the freebies to kind of get you to go into Norton. So and Safe Search is one of those programs that happens if you were to accidentally click on something or visit a website, it'll just download that utility for you. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, because I was like, how did it get to my regular computer? I didn't even have them in the same building.
Right.
Miles apart. Yeah, so
right.
That was a little unsettling, but my fault.
Yeah. I think one of the other things we need to cover with National Cybersecurity Awareness Month is what kids and parents and how they need to interact as far as online safety is concerned.
Okay.
Because that's a big part of what's going on with, you know, with cybercrime. Because, I mean, there's kids always being groomed on the internet from cyber criminals. So parents need to be aware of some of the stuff that they need to do in order to keep their kids safe. So one of the challenges is especially with mobile devices like your Nintendo Switches and your iPads and your Android tablets, most kids want to be on mobile devices because they're mobile. But then also two kids can kind of go off in a corner and go into areas that they're not supposed to go into. And the other real threat that parents aren't aware of are video game systems like your Xbox One and your PlayStation 4. They have all games, and games are okay, but all games have chat rooms built into them. It doesn't matter which game you have, it's got some form of chat in it. And so kids obviously can be groomed by adults when they're playing these video games, so parents really need to be aware because especially for gaming systems, there's not like an app that you can monitor, like, you know, what conversation's going on in the chat room with your kid and some adult in a game. You basically have to download parental controls to shut it down. So like your Nintendo Switch and your Xbox One and your PlayStation 4 all have apps that allow you to put restrictions as far as game playing time on those devices. But at the same time, parents always need to put their hands on kids' devices to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing when they're using these devices. And I know it's always a challenge for parents out there because they want to be able to just give their kid the technology and then just have them run loose with it. And, you know, rather than just being responsible parents and making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, there's an interesting commercial that I've seen lately that's been kind of funny where the parents are leaving and the kids wait for their parents to leave and they all think that they can go and get on the computer and the parents have a remote switch to turn off the Wi-Fi wherever they are.
Right.
You know, right. If you've seen that, haven't you? Yeah. It's
Yeah, and they actually do make most routers now. Like, I know Linksys makes a router where you can go into the app and you can shut off the stuff, or they have what's called guest networks on some routers where you can have the kids connect to the guest and then you can change the password or turn off the guest network to kind of keep them off of the internet. So there's a lot of ways that, and it's like everything out there, there's a lot of protection out there to keep kids safe on the internet, but most of it requires parents to really take an active part to make sure that kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing on the internet.
Right. So like you said, I mean, even with all of the parental controls and stuff, the best thing is to be engaging with your kids, you know, and have a dialogue with them. Like you said, you know, just to, you know, keep up with them to make sure that you know what's going on with them. You know, it's not a matter of keeping them totally off the internet. It's just a matter of making sure that there's no predators out there, you know, that they're engaged with, that, you know, kind of basically what's going on, and not necessarily trying to invade privacy, but trying to keep them safe. So.
Right. Exactly. That's the main goal.
Yeah. We're going to take one last break. We are here with Burton Kelso, and this is Tech Thursday on G's Power Hour. If you have a question, the number is 516-387-1944. It is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and like I said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dip Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Mr. Burton Kelso, my buddy Burton, and it's Tech Thursday, and it's also National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And he's giving us a 411 on what we should be doing, what we need to be aware of, how to stay safe on our computers. So go ahead. What else do we got?
What else are we fighting? Well, back to the kids thing as far as, making sure your kids are safe on the internet. I know there's a lot of parental control software that you see posted, like NetNanny, and there's a few others out there. But at the same time, many of the apps that kids gravitate to, there's no protection from that. And there's a ton of list apps that kids shouldn't even be playing around with. And it's just a simple Google search for parents to go to dangerous apps to find out which apps that shouldn't be on your kids' smart devices. But I think, it kind of goes back to the antivirus software we were talking about. Does it offer this protection? Well, they're trying to sell a product, and the parental control software that you see on the internet is just not all encompassing. I mean, and apps are coming out every day, and so it's hard for the manufacturers of these apps to come out with protection for all of them, because sometimes they'll drop in, they'll drop out. Kids change their habits as far as what they, what apps they're using. So it's always a good idea for parents to at least once every couple of days to just physically look at their devices to make sure that they're not doing anything bad. And the other thing, too, is just overall smartphone use. I mean, the longer you wait to give your kid a smartphone, the better off you're going to be. You know, I know some parents are, like, in a hurry, but trust me, it's better to wait than to go ahead and get them a, you know, a smartphone. So that's my two cents.
I mean, a dumb phone is okay. I mean, just basically to call you and to call 911. You know, that's
right,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the overall goal with, you know, National Cybersecurity Awareness Month is just to realize what's going on as far as all the cyber threats that are out there and making sure that you're doing what you need to do in order to keep yourself safe.
What do you know what type of penalties are out there for people that are engaging in these cyber crimes, and are they being enforced?
No, because most of them are international and different countries. So, you know, unless you sent the CIA over to go out and take out some of these criminal organizations, there's really nothing that we can do in the United States. I mean, obviously, domestic cybercrime is a federal, you know, a federal offense, so that's covered by the FBI. But, you know, international stuff is CIA, and for some of these countries, it's just really hard to track down. So, you know, we have to rely on the authorities in those foreign countries in order to take action. And unfortunately, a lot of the cybercrime that goes on overseas is sanctioned by some of those governments overseas, so there's really not much that we can do.
I was just going to say that it's not only whether or not they have the ability to, it's the willingness to you know, accommodate us and you know, make sure that you know, we're safe from what's going on over there. And if they don't care, you know, it's not going to help us.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a tricky situation and a slippery slope. But, I mean, education's always key. I mean, if people aren't falling for these phone scams or clicking on stuff that comes in via email, I mean, all of it would stop. Because, I mean, they would just have to find a new way to do it. And to be honest with you, cyber criminals aren't really that smart. They're just smart as far as, I should say, not that tech, the ones that protect, that attack people, aren't smart technology-wise. They're smart as far as manipulating people in order to give up the information that they want to get access to, like credit card numbers or any other personal information.
Okay. So
do you feel you feel more comfortable now as far as...
Of course. Yes, indeed. I do. And I'm, you know, yeah. I feel more comfortable. I just, like I said, I think what we all have to do, I know one of the things I have to do is really just take my time with it. For a person that's not really, you know, tech savvy, I've just got to take my time with it. You know, look at what it is I'm putting on my phone, you know, I'm like, you know, and because I use my, you know, phone quite a lot, and there are a lot of apps I'm putting on, you know, restaurant apps and all types of things. And you know, like you were talking about emails and stuff like that. I have a ton, you know, and it's just a matter of taking the time and doing the investigation and, you know, just maybe, I guess you could say downsize your computer a bit and downsize your phone a bit in terms of what you have on there and what you need.
Right. And I think you touched it when you said that, you know, everyone needs to take a little bit more time to, you know, make sure that they're clicking on places that they're supposed to be clicking on when they're surfing the web. I mean, that's very, very important. It's just taking your sweet time and making sure that you're doing things to keep yourself safe, and you're just not reacting to everything that comes through.
Right,
of course. And I think we also need to take the practice of sharing the wealth and making sure that everyone's informed as far as what things they need to do as far as cybercrime is concerned. There's two websites that I want to point out real quick before we go that people can go to. To make sure that their personal information is safe. The first one is a website called fightingidentitycrimes.com. And it has a section there called breach tables, and I think I've shared this on the show before. But fighting identity crimes has monitored all the data threats since 2013, or actually 2012. It goes back further than that. But anyway, with fighting identity crimes, you can look and see if all the data breaches that have occurred, and because most of them aren't televised. And so if you look at all the data breaches, if you go to their breaches and scams area, it'll show you who's been breached, what information was exposed, and then what things you need to do in order to protect yourself. And there's companies out there that you didn't even think had their data exposed. So it's a good area or a good website to go to check out your information. And the second website to check and see if your email has been compromised is a website called haveibeenpwned.com. And pwned is spelled P-W-N-E-D. So it's H-A-V-E, the letter I, then B-E-E-N-P-W-N-E-D.com. So if you go to haveibeenpwned, you can type in any email address that you're using and find out if it was part of a data breach. And if it has, the steps that you want to take is to make sure that you change the passwords for any of the online accounts that you use the same password with, if that makes sense.
And you're saying have I been pawned, but without the A, right?
Well, no, yeah, without the A, yeah, basically.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I typed in something else and it kind of, I think, knew that I was looking for that, and it started doing some other stuff, and I immediately left it.
Right. So, yeah, if you go to the website, if you type in your email address, it'll let you know that if you've been pwned or not. But you want to come up with the good news, no pwnage found, which means your email address hasn't been exposed. But if you get the red one with, oh, no, you've been pwned, any email account that uses that same you've used that password with for any other online account, you want to change that password immediately. So, two ways that people can keep themselves safe.
Yeah, well, I suspect that I have, or was a couple of years ago, I had something to happen, and I haven't recovered since, to tell you the truth. I think my email's been blacklisted.
Hmm. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, but you can, but this, you know, it's a good way for people to make sure that all the information's safe. So.
And it says here in terms of me that I pawned on 14 breached sites.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot.
Yeah. So.
So if you were using, so whatever password you were using for that email address, you want to go through and make sure that none of your other online accounts are using that same password. So,
well, none of my other online accounts were using that password at all. And I've actually changed that password a couple of times. But I just noticed that sometimes I'll sign up for on new sites or for new stuff to get emails, and I don't get them. And I think it's because my email has been blacklisted or something.
It's possible.
Yeah. Well, Burton, thanks for keeping us cyber safe. Really appreciate it. So how do we reach you?
You can visit my website. You can go to burtonkelso.com and read my blog and other information videos. And then I'm all over social media, so just look for Burton Kelso. I'm everywhere.
My buddy Burton. There you go.
My buddy Burton. I love it.
Have a blessed month. Talk to you next month.
Yes, we'll be talking next month.
Oh, a lot of stuff to talk about next month, probably, for sure.
Definitely.
With the holidays coming up. So have a blessed day, Burton. Take care.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a very blessed day. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care. We'll be right back.